This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
We're going to start with nuclear geopolitics. This week, President Trump said he was putting stiffer economic sanctions in place against North Korea. That came after he spoke at the United Nations, saying he would, quote, totally destroy North Korea if its nuclear program threatened the U.S. or its allies. But the North Korean economy and what sanctions do to it can be really hard to understand. So we brought on Scott Snyder, who runs the program on U.S.-Korea policy at the Council on Foreign Relations. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
I was struck. North Korea's economy grew by 3.9% in 2016. That's actually, you know, pretty decent economic growth. Where did that growth come from?
The current leadership is embracing markets and, in fact, is establishing more channels of interaction economically with the outside world, even despite the efforts by the international community to put sanctions on North Korea.
Kim Jong-un is moving more toward a market economy than his father, his grandfather. What does that look like on the ground?
Essentially, across North Korea at this point, there are locations that look like kind of early versions of North Korea's Walmart, where you can go in and go to different stalls and buy and sell whatever you need. The problem, of course, is that those traders are also subject to threats, intimidation, needs to pay bribes to security. And also the market in North Korea is rife with corruption. So it's really a kind of frontier-style predatory market economy rather than anything where there's a level playing field that regulates capitalist exchange in North Korea.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work with sanctions that have been placed on North Korea?
Well, we have to understand that until last year, the sanctions were really focused on particular items that could be used for North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. Only in the past year has the UN begun to impose sectoral sanctions on North Korean exports, which are designed to reduce North Korea's access to foreign currency.
Do we have a sense of how international community sanctions play out in the average North Korean's life?
So far, I'm not sure that the sanctions have really had that much of an impact on the average North Korean. The most recent resolutions by the UN Security Council may change that, because we now see bans on fishery exports and textile exports, which are major sources of foreign exchange.
Where do those North Korean exports go?
North Korean exports have primarily been sold to China. One thing that's really interesting, over the course of the past 8 months, the UN Security Council has put a cap on North Korean exports of coal to China. And the latest report shows that as a result, North Korea tried to diversify its coal exports to states like Vietnam and Malaysia as a way of getting around that cap.
Is it working for them?
Well, I think basically with regard to the UN Security Council sanctions, what we're really doing is playing a game of whack-a-mole with North Korea. For every sanction that is introduced, the North Koreans try to find some kind of sanctions evasion measure as a way of trying to keep themselves plugged in to the global economy.
How does China figure into this picture?
Well, China is North Korea's main supplier of goods. They're essentially the umbilical cord to the international economy for North Korea. North Koreans use Chinese front companies and Chinese partners as the main instruments by which they get the goods that they need in order to build their nuclear program or in order to get food and fuel to help their own citizenry.
Well, I guess that sort of raises the question, do sanctions work?
I think sanctions can be a source of pressure, but they're not going to work in and of themselves.
What language, then, if sort of the language of economics is not an effective one, what language do they listen to, in your opinion?
Well, the opening offer that the regime has put forward is that they want the United States to abandon its hostile policy toward North Korea. It's just that the approach that they're using in order to send that message is quite muddled. And also, there's a lot of distrust based on North Korea's past track record.
Scott Snyder, Senior Fellow for Korea Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of South Korea at the Crossroads. Thank you so much.
Thank you.